You are listening to The Edge, a podcast for personal development junkies and visionaries living right at the precipice of oh shit meets fuck yeah. I'm Nadia Munda, an embodiment and relationship coach and a lover of all edges. Stick around to listen to raw, unpolished conversations where we explore our personal and collective edges in all their erotic glory. Hello, hello. Popping in real quick to let you know of an offering in December that I am so excited about. It's an online retreat called Yes, because yes is what I tend to always be shouting really loudly when I'm cheering on the women who I see in their full embodied expression when I'm working with them. And so I'm going to be offering this to only 10 women to come join me and get an experience of my work in the erotic edge and erotic mapping arena. And so I'm doing this primarily in order for you to really get a sense of what this work entails. A lot of it is really hard to describe. It's experiential and it's transformation. And I can promise you that the woman who you are when you walk in to the Zoom room in the morning or sit your booty down to the Zoom room in the morning is going to be a whole different woman than who is going to press end meeting at the end of the day. And this is great for anyone who's been possibly looking at working with me privately or who might be interested in my other offering in the new year called The Mastery of Energetics. Sex, which is an embodiment lab where I'm going to be taking 6 couples. You do not have to be partnered to apply. You can be a woman who applies, or you can be in a partnership. It's up to you. And what I'll do is I'll partner you up if you're not, and we will work as 6 couples maximum in a lab where once a month for 6 months, we go really deep into polarity practice, into embodied expression. We work on how to reignite more of the passion in your relationship if you're in one, and we work on what it feels like to really increase your capacity for surrender, for softness, for opening your heart, for showing your moment-to-moment expression in front of a partner, even though it freaks you out. So all of these are things that we'll be doing, and that offering includes the lab intensives once a month, but it also includes a one-on-one session with me every month as well. So if you like a hybrid of deep practice and you're an advanced practitioner who's done some sort of embodiment work or some sort of polarity work with me or with someone else, it doesn't matter, then that's going to be a really great offering for you. And the best way to sample my work and how I workshop with your body right in front of me is going to be at this online retreat called Yes. So check out the show notes and make sure to grab your spot because there's only 10 spots. Okay. I'm so excited today because I am going to essentially live meet a couple that I have been following online for quite a while now. Chelsea Joe and Oren Harris, and we've never really had a conversation before. So you all get to listen to me get to know them and them get to know me. So hi guys.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having us.
I'm excited for our blind date.
Yeah, basically that's what it feels like. I'm like, oh, I'm a little nervous. Okay, so I want to dive right in. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of things. I would love to hear from each of you a little bit about, you know, what you offer in the world, but I specifically want to ask about your Instagram one-liners. Devotional deep throat kind of love. Chelsea, talk to us a little bit about that, because that struck a chord for me. And Oren, talk to me about heaven on earth, because those two things sound amazing and very intertwined.
Very, very much so. Deep throat is the pathway to heaven.
For sure.
I love that you just followed in with that because, yeah, how many times are we asked, you know, what is it that you do and what is your work in the world? And it's exciting. And I really appreciate that you're starting with that. I can already tell this is going to be fucking good. Yeah, you know, when I fell into that, I was asking myself, first of all, what would I write in my bio if I didn't give a fuck, truly? But if I was really honest as well about my work in the world, because to be honest, you know, I am a business mentor, but I also serve women who are looking to live in union, and not just any kind of union, but the kind of union that is deep throat kind of union, where they are literally wanting to suck up source from their God man. So that's the line.
Yes.
Yeah. Heaven on earth. I mean, it's a big idea, and I guess there's a simplicity to it. To me, a picture of heaven on earth would be like limitless living, and a pathway to being able to live limitlessly is kind of an intersection between self-realization and self-actualization. And by that, I mean awakening to who we truly are beyond our history, our memory, our name, our form, our definitions, all of the things that we say is ourself. There exists a self or an aspect of us beyond that. So that's self-realization and gives us access to the divine, to the infinite, to the unknown. And then actualizing ourself would be, you know, sharing our unique soul's genius, our God-given gifts and talents in a way that we're really powerfully contributing to this world. And when you mash the two of those together, to me, that's like heaven on earth. And so I help people to awaken to their true selves and to live their divine potential, which I feel like we don't even come close to living our highest potential until we awaken beyond ourselves or get beyond ourselves and tune into our heart's intelligence and, you know, the divine source, the infinite. And that's a summary of heaven.
Yeah. Of a very large concept.
it's a big idea, you know, and it's the mission. Yeah.
I love that. That feels very parallel to, I always talk about embodying and then expressing for the women that I work with. And so it feels like similar thing. It's like an understanding of who you are and then an expression and a transmission and an embodiment of who you are out into the world. So that's really beautiful. And I just want to go back to the deep throating for a moment. Double Scorpio here. So I really, I'm going to focus on the sex a lot. But really here, I think there's something so important that maybe we'll pull on that thread throughout the conversation today a little bit more, but there is really something about deep throating that is a portal into another layer, another state of consciousness, which can feel like heaven on earth for both people. I think also there's a misconception that one person has to suffer and the other person's having a good time. And I'm sure for those of us who enjoy it, we understand that actually it's such a sacred exchange of energy and a way in which both humans can take themselves somewhere that they would not be able to go to alone.
You know, I'm so happy that I can truly say that. And I also feel so grateful that I feel that with Oren. You know, I think that there's been so many times when we've been in this space and I finally, for the first time, got to feel what it felt like to receive so much pleasure through giving him pleasure, like literally being in that place with him. I guess I'm like, do I censor myself right now? Or
green lights.
I'm like, okay. Yeah. I mean, I could literally come just from, you know, deep throating. Like, I love that you use the word portal, because that is exactly what it feels like to me. And it's the first time I've been in relationship where that's been a consistent experience. It's like, wow, this really is something that I fucking love to do and I want to do all the time.
Yeah. And it's such a beautiful symbol. I love that you bring it into the leadership, right? Because there is a level of surrender that is required in leadership, a surrender to being penetrated by love that does take you to the next level, but is a really scary thing to do on, you know, on the front end. You're like, can I even do this? So I imagine just a lot of women listening might be like, oh, I've been there. I've had those thoughts, and I can see the parallel.
Yeah. You know, something that's been really alive for us and just so present in our relationship, but especially this, I would say this week even is going all in. And I think so often we think I'm going all in, you know, I'm going all in on this love, or I'm going all in leadership. I'm going all in on my business. I'm going all in on what it is that I'm here for. But truly, I think a lot of times we wait until something is going all in on us for us to be devotional to it all the way. Right. Mm. And so there's, when it comes to our work in this world or our relationships, there's such a gift and a deep, like you said, level of trust and surrender into offering yourself fully to something without knowing the outcome.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So part of why I was really excited to have you both on, in particular together, is because, I mean, I'd love to, I feel like I have so many questions to ask each one of you separately that I'm like, maybe I'll have each one of them on their own as well. But I really wanted to have you on together because I look out into the world and I don't see a lot of unions that inspire me. And I don't, I mean, I don't say that from a place of judgment. I say that from a place of nearly like a disappointment, you know, like I wish there were more of that. And I look at the two of you and although I, as I told everyone, I'm just talking to you for the first time, I can feel the energy and the transmission of both of you individually and then you as a union. And so I really wanted to come and talk in particular about intimacy and the union between the two of you. And I would love to hear a little bit about, what you both feel, since you both are offering such beautiful gifts to the world, but what you feel is particular to the union, like what is a gift that the union between the two of you offers the world?
A gift that the union offers the world. I really feel like I had this thought the other day that, you know, you don't lose yourself in union, you become more of yourself, right? Now you may lose yourself in a way that is positive, but you become more of yourself. And so I feel like being in divine union, kind of like looking at heaven on earth, the outward expression, the manifestation of what that looks like is truly being able to co-create with the divine and live a more limitless life. Mm. You know, so that is one of many gifts that being in union offers, offers to the world. Yeah, so many things. Like one of the first things that we tangibly experienced as a gift of union, that we've experienced a lot of things that maybe we had anticipated and kind of were looking for. And then we experienced a lot of things that just happened. We're like, whoa, there's another gift and another one, another. It's like the gift that keeps on giving. One of the first things that we experienced was, you know, we both came out of relationships that are, I think, are quite common, where there was a fair amount of processing, but to the point where at times it felt like endless or excessive, and confusing in a way. And we, one of the first things that the union gifted us that was a bit unexpected is that our learning, growth, transformation, and expansion, which is so potent in the mirror of relationship, like that's one of the gifts of relationship, happened in a way that was so new for us and so kind of indescribable. We're almost like the union in the field of our love and our devotion to the to love did a lot of the work for us. And so a lot of healing and transformation and expansion happened in a very engaged but hands-off way. And that's, you know, thinking about like, well, how does that give to the world? You know, anything that we're experiencing in union becomes the demonstration of a possibility for other people as well. And so one other thing I'll say on that is that, you know, our learning, growth, and expansion, we were served very powerfully, like stories and things like that that might come up or just kind of effortlessly dissolved.
Literally obliterated.
Obliterated.
In the field of love.
So in our transformation, in our love, you know, we're really, really being gifted powerfully. And I would say that the first kind of notable point of like challenge, which is the same invitation into union, is as we started merging in co-creation and merging our businesses and merging in this energy of union, but as it relates to co-creation, and I'm just using business because we're both in business, that's where, you know, I guess a more palpable initiation came forth in terms of like, okay, well, can you give your co-creation, AKA your business, which connects the money to God, you know, to the field of love, and be in this same field of surrender and trust and faith together, two universes coming together, that initiated its own dojo. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds to me, and correct me if I got this wrong, but that there was the difference between this field and, let's say, in previous relationships, was there was more of an energetic and embodied transformation versus in the others, it was more cognitive. It's a little bit more like if there's processing, there's verbal stuff, there's rational thought, there's like figuring out who I am and what's working, what isn't, versus here, it was like, okay, now we're actually stepping into a vibratory field where the words are less relevant, the processing is less relevant, and it's a lot more about co-creating a cloud of love, is how I see it in my mind, right? Like, or a vibrational field that just naturally, right, organically eliminates all the other shit.
Yeah. Well summarized. and our, I guess our devotion to that, which implicit with that, I guess there's also kind of baseline level of safety and trust. Hmm. That was well summarized.
Great. Glad I got it. Yay, A plus for me. Yeah. So with all that said, what's an edge that you guys are exploring as a couple right now?
Well, co-creation. That's what I was saying. Like that's the most present edge or dojo is, you know, and I'll share how the edge is occurring and maybe explain a little bit of the nuances of it. But the invitation into deeper co-creation, because we are being called and we most resonate with co-creating with all of us, not just our own abilities and our own human will, but the divine, you know, which is, you know, the invitation to faith. Now, with both of us having our own separate businesses and enterprises and our own relationship to money and like how we're used to operating in our business within our own sovereign beings, now moving into spaces that are unnatural, are abnormal to us, you know, because it's a different template, right? That's where the edges have come up in terms of like, you know, taking a leap of faith or doing something different that we wouldn't normally do, or that might seem like a sacrifice or a risk for the greater good of us coming together at a higher level in our each of our individual businesses and what we're doing together. And so we've had times of sitting down to co-create, whether we're creating a video or we're working on our new retreat, where there's like these little like energetic collisions, right? Yeah. I would say collisions, that might be a strong word, but like collisions, like, you know, operating almost like two different operating systems and creating a kind of dissonance that, we're ultimately here for, right. And we show up for, and if you can imagine, we're both busy and have a lot going on and have a lot of things that are important to us. So it's kind of like this thing of like, okay, well, we could easily go back into independence zone right now, because everything we're creating together is by choice. We don't have to, right? And so but we have this strong desire to. So it's like you take our desire, and then the times where this edge and this dissonance or collision's coming up, then it's like this moment of like, okay, like, are we doubling down on the greater possibility here? You know, mm-hmm. is it worth it to us to move through and inspect this dissonance to arrive at a higher level? And I mean, we've said yes every time, but that's one edge that we have been exploring and kind of in the dojo of.
I would say it's probably the main edge. We don't really have any other edges that we meet our level of devotion and love, and like everything else that we experience is so full on and infinite. And this is the one place that we've definitely met some, I would say, resistance. And honestly, I don't know if you can resonate with this, Nadia, but I mean, I've been so fucking sovereign for so much of my life and taught that. And like, you know, that's something that to be proud of as a woman, to come into your sovereignty. And so then to come into a union and be asked to dissolve that completely and to merge with somebody completely, and not just ask, like, that's what God is asking of us. It's like, it's happening whether we want it or not. I can feel it. We're really being asked to come into this place where it's not just his launch or my launch, it's our launch. You know, if he's doing something in his business, I care about it just as much as if it were my own. And that is, it's a whole other level of devotion to come into when it comes to union with somebody and union with two people that are really passionate about serving.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I want to add to that, just as a more tangible nuance of this, mm-hmm. so people can feel this and maybe relate to it. For example, part of the collision or dissonance that would come up is like, there is a period of time where like we would sit down to do a meeting about something important, you know, and we're, you know, battling a little bit with time or like time constraints. And I would come in, you know, tuned into like the highest possibility and tuned into faith and like into divine union. And there was a period of time where I would be asking for more, but feeling like that's what was being called forth. And where Chelsea felt like she was feeling pressured, like, you know, not enough, or like, I'm already stretched and you're asking for more. And we had this kind of dynamic where sometimes she was feeling pressured and I felt like I was shrinking myself, you know what I mean? Right. Knowing that neither one is actually the truth, but that's an example of what I mean by a collision, you know what I mean? A seeming separation or difference of reality happening. And then ultimately, one of the things we discovered in that, and happy to share, you know, part of the process of that, is that, you know, whatever she was describing as me wanting more, like more from a lack perspective, like not enough, was actually her own desire, right? Yeah. And it seemed like it was her desire versus my desire, but we ultimately discovered that it's our desire, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. It does. Yeah. And I think a lot of people who try to combine after doing their own sovereign thing for a long time, when they're trying to do projects together or possibly even start a full business together, there is going to often be like that initial crunchiness of the two different like blueprints or programs that the people are running.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's not even necessarily in a romantic relationship, although there's extra layers there, which I want to ask about a little, but just any two humans, right? Because there's such mm-hmm. a set of different belief systems and different programs that run that are going to hit up against each other a little, but usually always ultimately for good, because there's medicine in all of it.
Totally. One other thing I want to add to that is that when we use the word union, right, there's different pictures of union. Like on one level of union, you know, you could describe union as harmony, right? And so harmony could look like we've on a basic level, like, oh, we've organized our schedules and the babysitters and, you know, what rooms we're using in the house. And, you know, so we're in harmony, we're not getting in each other's way. Another right. level of harmony could be like, oh, and we support each other when each other asks. You know, another yeah. level of harmony is we're proactively supporting each other. Here's the thing, and this is not a requirement of union. Some of this is unique to our souls, but essentially when you're in that level of intimacy, the field is transparent. And so because my soul and my heart is naturally going to be in service to her and naturally going to be drawn towards serving her and anything that synchronistically is happening inside me, because we're existing in a telepathic field, you know, and like, it's just, it's transparent. If her, for example, you know, we were in a meeting one time and, you know, we were meeting together and it was our time together. And I told her, in spite of myself, said, babe, you need to take a day to yourself. But the reason I was saying that, it's not just for her, it's for us, because she was a little bit backed up on, you know, from serving so much and, you know, relaxing some, but not it, like her soul needs time to herself. And I'm just using that as an example of something that I can't ignore that, because it's, we're so connected and so intimate that it just changes the landscape in terms of our general desire and willingness to be of service to each other. When you're that close to someone, you lose the ability to say, oh, well, if you want to do that, if you want to be here with me, you know, that's on you. If you need to take self-care, but hey, just be with me. That's not going to impact me. You get to a certain level of union energetically, you can't actually separate it. Right. Yeah. So it cannot impact someone else and not impact the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also one thing that that story brings up is the power of your partner's reflection. So I know that with my partner, if he looks at me and says, you need time off, which also seems to there, I have that theme too. I trust him. Like, even if I'm not feeling it yet.
Right.
Or if he's like, oh, there's a certain transmission coming out of you right now that's like probably not what you're wanting. Even if I don't feel that, I trust that what he's saying is true, because I trust that he's trying to elevate me and elevate the partnership.
Mm. Totally. Trust is huge. And we definitely have that. And I think that our own honesty and integrity strengthens that trust, you know? So we just kind of have a knowing that we have each other's best interests in mind, period, in a very selfless way. So yeah, the trust is there, and that's definitely, definitely key.
Yeah. So with all of this, like working together, how do you guys navigate the passion polarity piece? Because there's a lot of talk and also, you know, actuality around, I guess, there's a couple of things. It's one, you know, lack of distance, right? Which is, if we're together all the time, it can, you know, just bring down the fire of passion sometimes. But then also the polarity piece around, you know, someone holding one pole and someone holding another pole. And I know often in work, though not always the case, there tends to be a lot of masculine energy that has to come online. Obviously, there's also a lot of feminine, but there's a lot of times where it's like, okay, two bosses show up to the table, you know, and they're like, okay, boss mode. So I'm curious how you guys navigate that. If there's a particular role each one of you takes, if you're still figuring that out, and how you make it work so that you still, after, let's say, a whole day of working together, want to fuck each other at the end of the day.
For sure.
I love you already.
For sure. So it kind of goes back to what I was saying about like the effortlessness of our transformation. I feel like we focus on we're devoted to fundamental things that have us not having to focus as much on other things like polarity, right? So I think that what we do sometimes focus on polarity. For example, if we're working together, you know, if we're truly surrendered, even though we're focusing in a way that we're utilizing masculine energy and we're channeling a certain type of energy, when we're in union with source and we have an intention, then we're also paying attention to that feminine energy. And we dance nicely in the flow of masculine and feminine by whatever is actually going to be needed in order to accomplish it. So we're kind of operating in that frame. So there's one thing. The second thing is, I feel like, you know, the more we are devoted to love and the more we're devoted to truth, the more we stay at the razor's edge of polarity. And what I mean by that is the flow, the intelligence of our heart is naturally guiding us. And I think sometimes that, you know, we do our best to operate at the leading edge of what's true. And that has this constant, it has its own capacity to generate and regenerate compassion, or not compassion, passion, passion and fire. Because if you're really living in the unknown and you're not really living in a state of control and you're receptive to truth, I guess what I'm saying, I haven't thought about this till you asked it, the less you're going to have to exercise or focus on polarity. Now, we have exercised and focused on it, but I first wanted to say that more times than not, the cycle of our polarity is happening through living in truth and being organic and listening to our internal rhythms and listening to our flow. Does that make sense? It keeps more of a polarity. And then second to that has been us, you know, being more strategic or thinking about polarity or working on polarity. Like last night we got in bed and I said, babe, I didn't know you were such a night owl, because we're in different time zones in Europe. And she's like, what, I don't know, your sassy response was amazing. What did you say?
I said, what you're trying to say is that I need to get in bed before midnight if I want to fuck.
Yeah. Right. And that's an example of us like being more strategic and conscious with polarity, right? Because she sometimes like can be an endless stream of creativity and focus on her business. Right. Not to say that she was focusing on her business last night, but she can be in an endless state of creation and production if left to her own devices sometimes. And that was an example of a conversation. I was like, I've noticed this has happened a few times that we're kind of in this getting into a rhythm. So then that's when we are consciously disrupting that rhythm, and where we might be exploring, you know, like the effects that has on the polarity. And then what do we want to do about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really love this question too, because I think it's, you know, it's a common topic of conversation in our world and in the collective right now. Polarity is super hot. And yeah, it's interesting. I think we've rarely actually had any kind of polarity issues, I guess. It's maybe happened here and there. And ultimately what I've realized with polarity is if I'm not feeling attracted or turned on, or there's like this lack of energy that's moving between us, there's something in my own being that's happening. And like, I genuinely truly want to fuck this man most of the time. Like, it's hard to actually to work together sometimes because I can't stop thinking about having sex with him.
It's true.
So I should have reversed the question.
Yeah. Like that.
All right, polarity.
How do you bring down the polarity so you can work?
We also do stuff organically that we don't think about. Like in during the day, sometimes we'll be going to the airport or doing something, and I'll be like, babe, stop. You know what I mean? Or babe, like, I got that. And then she'll just instantly relax. Yeah. Which will instantly create more polarity. So I feel like there's a lot of things that maybe we've just done a lot of work that we just do instinctively in the moment, where the polarity could be shifting, or we'll just be like, oh no, this isn't the flow right now. You know what I mean? Like, I know you're capable of doing that, but like, I got this.
Yeah.
Like, or babe, like, relax.
Yeah. I would say I let Oren lead most of the time, even in our creations, which helps the flow of that, you know, polarity be what it wants to be. And if I'm not, if I step too far into my masculine, he is not afraid to be like, no. Yeah.
Well, I have a question then specifically for you, Chelsea, around this, because, you know, I occasionally collaborate with my partner on stuff, but we generally just do our own thing in similar domains. But the reason it's occasional is because I feel like I am so bossy and I want it my way. And so I could be just totally projecting my own experience onto this, but I'm curious how you work with, as someone who does get to be your own visionary in your own domain that you created, how do you work with letting or in lead at times when you have a strong vision around something and a strong opinion about something?
Well, you know, the truth is I definitely can be bossy about things as well, but ultimately I trust Oren a lot. And so there's been a lot of moments in my own business or just in things that we've been creating together where he's just fucking right. And I've learned that the hard way, and I've learned it the easy way. And sometimes it's taken me weeks to understand that. And sometimes I get it in a moment, and it's a lot more like, okay, let's just see what this has to happen. And so, you know, Oren is unique in a sense where he is ultimately an oracle, and he's very tapped and tuned in. And so I trust his vision of a lot of things. And you know, I do have a natural instinct to want to be the boss. So I feel you on that one. But ultimately at the end of the day, I'm learning more and more and more. And this has been a really deep thing that we've been, especially I think this week it landed more than ever. I was just like, I'm just not resisting you anymore. I'm not going to resist the truth of what's already happening, because it's like energy wasted, you know?
Yeah. I think also from what I witness in you sometimes too, is that sometimes I'll say something and I think I know how to invite without taking over. Do you know what I mean? If anything, I say something, it's because the bossiness has the energetic of control and it's actually suboptimal to what she's trying to do. So I know how to invite that in a way that's not judgmental or demeaning, but not like too soft or not too much, you know? So I think that helps. And I'm also usually pretty clear. So I think sometimes if she's being bossy, she's probably more aware of of that in her if she's in my presence, you know, even if I don't say something. And, you know, Chelsea has enough intelligence and humility that if she notices like, okay, this isn't working right now, or this isn't fun, or it's counterproductive, then she'll just check herself.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
That I feel like that's such a deep exercise in surrender. And it's another, I guess, example of what we were talking about earlier with trusting your partner's reflection. It's like also trusting your partner's leadership. And speak for myself, it's definitely hard when I'm very opinionated. Like, no, I think this is the way to do it. And I have to be like,
yeah. So,
it's
interesting because we have those moments, but I was thinking about this the other day. We don't spend time arguing though. Do you know what I mean? Like, unless it's productive. And our arguing would be like, we want to get to the truth as fast as possible. Do you know what I mean? So it's not, we don't invest a lot of energy in like, I'm right and you're wrong, because that's not the focal point. It's just like, what are we trying to accomplish here? And is it working? And like, what's going to have this work? And I think that, you know, back to Chelsea, I think a characteristic that she has, that I'm sure she develops, and maybe I bring it out a little bit more, is humility, you know? And so a strong sense of capability and diligence and just capability, but also humility and an openness, you know, a willingness, her willingness to look at herself, combine that with the trust, then I don't see her getting stuck in if she's like being, you know, bossy, like, but bossy in like a non-optimal way.
Right. Well, let's talk about arguing and fighting. So it sounds like you guys don't really do that. Did I misunderstand?
She says, you know, we fight sometimes.
We've had probably like, I would say, up until like maybe a few weeks ago, we'd never had an actual fight. So a year and a couple of months into our relationship, we'd never really gotten into a fight, which I was amazed by. And then we had some things come up, and then I was freaking out because I was like, it's over. We had one fight. And I realized that I'm just, honestly, I in the past could be afraid of conflict, and I understood and watched how fucking powerful it was to move through that conflict and how much closer it brought us. So we don't fight a lot. We have had maybe, I would honestly say, like two fights.
Yeah, two or three. And the reason I was saying it is, we'll just call it fighting, but not fighting in the sense of trying to prove a point fighting, you know, fighting in the sense of having an emotional reaction and something that we're feeling, and it's colliding. Yeah. But we don't, like, even the fights that we've had, we don't go round and round in the same exact circle. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we might take a couple trips around the same circle, but it's literally like, I don't know how long, it's never been more than like 20, 30 minutes, you know, maybe an hour if it's like, you know, we're just like integrating. But
yeah, I think we go through, like you said, as fast as possible to the truth, because we're more devoted to the truth than we are being right. And yeah. I've never experienced that before. In previous relationships, I fucking love to fight. I love to debate. I want to be the one that wins the fight. And in this one, I just have, it's interesting to feel this, but I have no interest in, I hate fighting with him. I hate it. Like, I don't like being, because our relationship is so beautiful most of the time, any kind of like dissonance or distortion in the field feels so big. It feels like something so intense. And so I'm like, let's move through this. In a clear and powerful way.
I don't know the right language to say this, but in a way I actually like it. It's a relief, especially if something's been unconscious and kind of like repressed, and it's obvious that it's trying to come to the surface, not that it has to come to the surface in a kind of burst or explosion. I would prefer that though than the inversion of it and the like a dull ache, or it's like a fly buzzing in your ear in the background, right? I would much prefer, okay, now we're in the center of the fire, right? And so I over the years, I've developed a positive relationship with that. And so in that sense, I actually like it, you know what I mean? And like, whereas it might seem more intense, you know, if like the fire turns up in her or the wild, I'm actually, it's more relaxing, not because I like drama or fighting per se, but it's because like, oh, I see it as there's an innocence to it. Well, and in that sense, it's the truth. And even our fights, there's an innocence in them, meaning we're not like breaking each other down.
Yeah.
We're just like in an emotion, but it's there's an innocence to it. And I really appreciate that. There's an intimacy in it. There's a connection. And because I'm really, really sensitive, it's better than the alternative, which is it's just lurking beneath the surface. Yeah. And it's because then it's disrupting our level of connection and intimacy, even if it's like, oh, everything's fine.
Right.
And so it's like, if you ignore the whispers of your heart or soul, or the heart and soul of the other person, all that happens is it accumulates and eventually it comes to a head. And so it's also not, I don't get shocked when we have had a fight, I'm like, oh, this makes sense to me. You know, this has been culminating. It's been gestating or whatever. And then now it's just like, it's almost like, okay, finally,
you
know, a nice. So in that sense, I have a appreciation for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a relief in your system. Well, for the people listening who maybe do find themselves looping in fights, I would love to also offer my perspective and a little bit of my experience to sort of merge with what you guys were sharing here. And that's just bringing in a little bit of the nervous system just perspective. And, you know, when we think about fighting or arguing, right, it's like we think about the fight response in our nervous system. And there's a fight response that's actually really healthy. And then there's a fight response that's just a trauma loop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so what I'm hearing you share, Oren, is like there's an experience of exhale, of relief, of safety that actually comes with a healthy fight response. Right. When there is something that needs to be addressed and there's an energetic response to that.
Totally.
And then there's a fight response where we are responding to something that doesn't actually exist.
Right.
Exactly. Right. So it's like, this is, I've worked with this my whole life. Like this, the image I, that was given to me by a coach and also my partner was like, you're just punching the air, but there's nothing there. And I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh, totally. Right. And so sometimes in with couples, there is, and with certain relational dynamics, there is this fighting where the response is not to an actual threat, but it feels like an actual threat in our system individually. And that's often when it's, to me, what I found is it's the moment that the other person starts to feel like an enemy instead of an ally.
Mm, nice.
And so I noticed that, you know, I've had relationships where it was like nonstop fighting. And then currently in my partnership, same thing. We have the occasional crunchiness, but we never really go into full-fledged, like I might on my own, because that's me and my feminine tantrum, but you know, he'll just stand there like, okay, are you done yet? And so if the other person is perceived as an enemy, and there's a very particular moment in a relationship, I think, where something gets hit in us, gets pierced through us, where we suddenly feel unsafe with the other person. So the moment that trust is broken, there's a feeling of lack of safety, either for a real reason or for a perceived reason, the other person becomes something worth fighting against, whether we consciously think about it or not. But as long as we're not really having many fights, I mean, the occasional one is not a big deal, right? But if, as long as we're not looping in those fights, chances are we generally view the other person as our partner, as our ally, as opposed to someone we are fighting for freedom against.
Right.
You know?
Totally. Yeah. I love the way you put that. And, you know, I think this safety is an interesting thing in terms of like when the impulse for safety is there and there is a protection, it's like what's actually, I think sometimes is counterintuitive, what is actually going to create the safety versus create more protection and more fear. I'm very just fascinated and interested in like, what is it that will actually create the safety? If you, you know, if that's what's trying to happen.
Yeah. So what's one thing people would be surprised to know about you guys?
Ooh.
I mean, how funny we are.
Do people know how funny
we
are?
Do y'all know how funny? No.
I think what people might, may or may not, like, when I really think about this, I love Oren and I because, you know, just to give you an example, just to let you in on a little secret sauce, we just went to Amsterdam over the weekend. We flew in to see Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock. We were, you know, we went into a shop and bought truffles and like had a full-on mushroom experience, and it was probably the least, like, I would say ceremonial time we'd ever worked with medicine. And one thing that I really love about both of us is we're probably two of the most spiritual God embodied beings that I know, definitely Oren, and we are so grounded in that. You know, when I think about what he shared with the bridge between heaven and earth, I don't think just about like, I am so spiritual and ascending all the time. I think there's such a gift to this human experience. And I don't know if people know, maybe you can reflect to me if people really see or sense that. Like, Oren is one of the most real humans I've ever met in my life. And he's invited that for me. You know, like, I ate a Snickers bar for the first time in like 10 years over the weekend. It was so great.
I remember one time a few months ago in our relationship, we did an Instagram poll on Instagram stories, and we're like, who do you guys think is the wilder one, the freakier one? And I kind of knew she was going to get the overwhelming vote, which she did. It was like 87% people were like, oh, Chelsea for sure. So that's an example of something that people might not know about me, because our answer we finally revealed was that I'm actually, in the way we meant it, the wilder one, at least at that time. Yeah. And I think more accurately, just the sense of freedom and liberation, and like that does translate as humor or like wildness. And I do think that people know that about us, But to the degree that we like while out, I think that would surprise people. I keep telling Chelsea, I'm like, oh, this is what people want to see more of, you know, but anyway, yeah. we have our own private lives, but our lives are actually better than our Instagram, and our Instagram looks pretty dope.
That's true. That's so funny because one of the questions I wrote down that I was like, I don't know if there's going to be context for this, but it was literally like, do you identify more as a spirit having a human experience or more as a human that's like connected to your spirit? And you guys sort of somehow made the conversation take a path down to this question. So I'm curious, do you have, because I have a theory about couples and I want to test it. What do each of you feel more connected to?
Definitely, I feel like a spirit having a human experience, you know, spiritual being human.
Yeah.
Same. And I've gotten to the point where the lines are blurred between those, you know, yeah. But in general, I would say I'm spiritual being human.
Yeah.
I feel
the same. I do tend to really love highlighting the human experience for sure. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like that's what we're here for. You know, we're here for all of it. So I'm curious what your theory is.
Well, I don't think that did not confirm my theory, because usually I find with couples so far that I've noticed that there's usually one person that right. will skew one way and one that skews the other, just, you know, sort of a opposites attract thing. But I also think that perhaps the two of you are so balanced in both that it makes mm-hmm. sense that you also both have the same view.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it does feel 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. We have a pretty similar blueprint. I think when we felt into it, there's like a very similar energetic that we both play from. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think that something that people know about us, but if I just tune into like, you know, how deep they know or how well, like just how, and I'll say this about Chelsea, just like how huge her heart is, one, and how brilliant she is. Mm-hmm. You know? And she says that about me sometimes and I appreciate it, you know? But I don't know how much of that translates, but I definitely get to witness firsthand just how big her heart is and how brilliant she is.
Mm. Aww. Mm.
Love. Okay, so final question for you all. What is your biggest dream for your union?
I'll let you go first.
Are you sure? There's such a big vision that we're holding right now together. And we're for the first time really calling it home. And that feels really incredible. And with that comes the creation of what we're birthing together. And so as we shared, you know, it's like spirits moving us to really merge our businesses and really co-create. And so we have a really, you know, we haven't actually publicly even talked about this yet, but we're building ultimately a whole universe together. Mm-hmm. And we see that as something that it just really can completely transform and change the planet and serve in a big way. And it's still in the very beginning birthing stages. So there's a big universe that we call it Boo School because we don't have a name for it. It's just like Boo School. And that's a really big, big vision that we have together. And feels really exciting and huge. And I mean, if I'm being fully transparent, I'm like, I want to have a family. Mm. Boo's like, let's create Boo School first.
We've been talking about babies.
There's babies, there's things, there's big, there's so many big things we want to do. And ultimately I think, you know, when I think about our love, I feel that the biggest vision and the biggest, like if we were to die next year, tomorrow or sometime, I feel ultimately that if we were to live in this love and to carry it through and to also truly let this love hold us in a way and inspire other people, like, that's it to me, you know, to let people know that divine union is possible. There's so many things that can, that gets to hold, like building something, creating something, having a family, you know, speaking and having all these incredible experiences together. But ultimately it's like letting people know that this gets to exist and that it gets to exist for everyone. It's not just some random unique thing that some people are lucky enough to experience, but that it truly is possible. That is the big vision.
Yeah, I second that. And, you know, one thing I'll add to that, or just another expression of that, is that we truly can have it all. And, you know, anything that is authentically inspired or birthed inside of us can be actualized. And so part of heaven on earth and a picture of limitless living and, you know, divine union being a pathway to that is who we get to become, who we need to become in union with life, with source, with nature, and with each other, such that we expand beyond this, you know, singular idea of an I. And become more of who we really are.
Yeah.
You know? And so a divine union in that sense is a invitation into limitlessness and living as divine beings on this earth in all the facets of being human, and not just this place that we experience in a plant medicine ceremony or an occasional area of our life where we see beyond the veil. It's like, well, what does that picture look like in our relationships and our health and our finances and our social and everything,
mm-hmm.
being integrated and unified with all of who we are and with each other? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it's a lifelong mission,
mm-hmm.
But we're devoted to that, and you know, and that's the vision.
Yeah. Wow. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so now that people are like, okay, I would like some devotional deep throat kind of love and some heaven on earth, where do they find you? What's the best place?
I would say Instagram is a really good place for people to play with both of us. We share a lot. We have a lot of free content. We have a lot to share on there. And then I know you just opened up your Limitless Circle.
Yeah, I still share quite a bit on Instagram. And I also just created a new platform called the Limitless Circle that's allowing me to teach in a more efficient and effective way and serve the different spheres of influence. And that's something that's free. And so a lot of my attention and content is going to be redirected there. But even people can find out about that on my Instagram at Orin Harris. There's a link in my bio to join the Limitless Circle. And so then the Limitless Circle and Instagram would be the two main places. And then, you know, of course, my website, orinharris.com.
Awesome. Great. Well, we'll have all this in the show notes, guys. So that'll be there if you want a quick clickable link. And I just really happy that our mutual friend connected us, that we got to have this conversation, that I got to just get to know you a little bit. I can't wait for more. I'm sure everyone wants more. So maybe I'll invite you each separately to talk about your own gifts specifically. But I just want to thank you so much for taking the time today to chat with me, to share all these beautiful little nuggets.
Thank you. This is really fun. It's really fun for us when the interview
starts. Yeah. The deep throat. Like, it's gonna be a good ride.
It's gonna be a good ride when we start with the deep throat.
You are, it's my, like, where do you go from there?
Exactly. Yeah, this is a fun blind date. Let's do it again.
Definitely. If you enjoyed the guest on this episode, you can head on over to the show notes to get more info on their bio, their work, their website, and all the good stuff. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We would love for you to rate and review the show, and I'd love to know your takeaways from the episode. You can do that by DMing me on Instagram at Nadia Munla.